ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of the Sunday Breakdown. Now, where is Hong Kong Fooey?
Dude, yep, he had to go pee.
Just let him out to pee?
Now we break it down. Tonight, we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud. Boom! Now we break it down. Tonight, we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud.
Listen up, because I got the mic. Give me room because the space is tight. Cook the red zone, homie, better get it right. Mike and Ferguson scroll Superman's kryptonite. Turn it all on as they break it down. Giving you the blues on all around. Put the pounds and topics to the breaking ground. Championship fight, fine around. This is gonna be the craziest past round. Look at all this controversy I found. Take your ideas, turn them upside down.
Hong Kong Fooey with the Basset Hound?
I don't believe the man, that's your Craig. Yeah, from Rob, let him out to play. Wandered in the traffic for a ninja display. Then there's no more Hong Kong Fooey today. Don't you cry, guys, it's okay. Show was dead long ago anyway. Now the form is yours. Take it away, call these cats out in MMA. Make it loud, make it live. Spirit of the Hong Kong Fooey survives. No longer the listeners be surprised. Take the internet, bring it back alive, come on.
Boom. Now we break it down, tonight we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud.
I guess Jeff's not going to talk.
I was muted.
You haven't been muted at all.
Tonight, Night Breakdown. It's 8 o'clock. How you doing, Rob?
Doing pretty good, man. What are you doing?
I'm just working. Working on Yancy Medeiros' guard, trying to finish it before we talk to him.
Fights? In 6 days.
Yeah, something
he
like
probably
that.
Would like six. You to finish his guard. He probably would like you to finish his guard.
I think it's like a week and a half away in the sixth.
Oh, yeah, he fights on the card in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Is that a weekday card? The sixth? It must be.
Yeah, Wednesday night. Back to their Wednesday night shenanigans.
How often? You know?
Well, I know that next year they plan on doing 3 events a month, so I think we'll start seeing Wednesday night events a little bit more often. I'm not really against the Wednesday night events. I'm against the Wednesday night events if they're going to start them at like 11 o'clock in the daytime, because nobody's going to watch them.
That's true. It's a waste. Waste of good fights.
Dude, you were at some fights last night. How did that go?
Yeah. Went good. Pretty good fights. Good matchmaking. Cody Houston did it. He did a great job. There was everything he'd seen in a fight. Knockouts, tap outs, every you know, finishing every way. So it was entertaining. Guys fought real hard. One of the teams, Cody Houston, one of his students died. He did the 10-bell salute at the beginning of the fight. That was pretty cool. And then all of his guys, of course, fought like maniacs because their teammate just died the night before. So they were like, they fought real hard.
He died the
so
night before?
Yeah. He had cancer, though, so it wasn't a surprise, but it wasn't still not a good thing, you know. So
yeah.
They all still fought. They did good. Some won,
that's
some lost,
fucking,
but they left it there.
That's a heavy thing to have to carry into the cage.
For sure. It would be really hard. Really hard.
You know what I mean? Because no matter how much you can prepare or, you know, like, how much time you have to prepare for something like that, I still don't think you ever really get to the level of preparation that you want, you know?
I agree. Yeah, for sure. You think you're ready, but when they're gone, they're gone. But the show was nice. They all fought hard. There was no problems. It was a beautiful venue at Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe. This building looks like it's fairly new. Really nice. Great place for fights. Huge ceilings, like in a big arena. And that was, he had seats out for 2,000, and it was probably 3/4 full. So it was good. Good turnout. Had 2 beer gardens. So those were packed the whole time. And I still suck. I'm still an idiot. I don't know. I heard it all last night. So everything got checked off the list, I'm still all these things. And yeah. Still number one. A whole bunch of times.
What did you do last night? What was your favorite mistake to make last night?
I didn't make any mistakes. It was just not the most educated audience.
Nice. Those are the best audiences, dude.
It was pretty entertaining. You know,
the people that are there because it's their buddy, the people that are there because it's their buddy that know everything about the sport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One guy, I stopped the fight. He came out and people were going crazy. You could tell he had a lot of fans there. And I could also tell that he wasn't a world beater. And then the other guy came out. And once they started, I had to stop it pretty quick. And they fucking went ballistic on me. They're just flipping out. And he just, he turns to me and goes, thank you. And he just, he's waving his hands to them going, no, no, stop. Stop swearing and booing him. Like, no, that was a good stop. I was hurt. He was so hurt, man. But he, you know how that is. They come right back up pretty quick. But he didn't want nothing to do with any of it. He didn't complain at all. But, man, the crowd just went ballistic on me. It was great.
Well, I mean, you should be used to that by now.
I am. It's usually not too bad. But there's always one, you know. There's always one or two that doesn't go the way people see it. And last night there we had a few too many split decisions. So that always makes it, gets them on a, in a bad frame of mind, you know. People are already upset. Throwing what they think is an early stoppage. It's the main event, some people think I stopped early. I don't think I stopped it early. And if you watch the video, you'll agree with me. But
who was the main event? I'll tell you if it got stopped earlier. Just probably by knowing who the fighters are.
James Davis and John Jacobs.
And John won via TKO,
John,
right?
Won, yes. Yes.
I don't know, because James has always been able to survive to the end of the fight. I don't know. What did Johnny say?
Oh, he knew that he was out, dude. He hit him. Oh, Johnny was throwing a fit at first. And then, he knew what was up. He calmed right down and he's like, Jeff. I said, dude, he's out, man. Come on. He got blasted. He hit the deck and didn't even catch himself. If he was caught himself, I could do something. He didn't catch himself. And then, sure, once he hit, so he woke back up. He was still out, man. And then he got hit again. And so he didn't go back out, but that's enough, man. It's just too much. You're fucking amateurs. It's not worth it. Look at him.
Yeah, dude, they are. I mean, at the end of the day, we are talking about amateur fights here.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need to be sending amateurs out on their shield. I know they'd like, you know, maybe if the last of their fights, you know, they can have a little more leeway, but James Davis isn't ready for more leeway yet.
No. I got to keep them from protecting from themselves. Too many of them just leave it all out there and they end up really, really hurt. Those guys are big, big guys. That's not the guys to let go. If it's pros, you know how I do it with them. I'm completely different. They can fight. You pretty much have to break something or go to sleep for me to stop it. Because there's a lot in it for them.
Dude, did you see the guy? Did you get to see the highlight of the Berkman Carl fight?
No, I didn't.
I sent everybody the gif of the finish. But God, dude, the referee was like right in there. He's in a triangle and he's tapping, and then he moves the hand where he's tapping and taps again, and then moves the hand again and taps again. And then the ref still doesn't stop the fight, and he finally goes to sleep.
Oh, what was it
that? Oh, Florida. This was at World Series of Fighting. Down in Florida.
I don't know what's so hard about it.
I don't know, dude. And the guy, like, if the guy would have been any closer, he would have been in the triangle. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, dude. I think if you go to the Men of Madhouse thread, you can find it right in there, like, not too far up. Tonight's episode of the Sunday Night MMA Breakdown, though, is brought to you by Mikey Ruckus, Clinch Custom Mouthguards, and MMAMadhouse.com. You can find more about Mikey Ruckus at MikeyRuckus.com or on Sound Studio. For Clinch Custom Mouthguards information, go to .com. And you can even order there. I bet people didn't even know that they could order a mouthguard from you on your website and not just through Facebook.
I know, it's kind of weird that people do order through Facebook. Think about it.
It's like they don't even, like, follow the right procedure. Like, go to the website, fill out the thing, submit it, and that's how it works.
A lot of times I get that. So I went to your website, and I'm ready to order. Okay? So how do I order? Did you really go to the website? You just go see the pictures.
You go to the website where it says order.
Yeah. Put one in the box and hit checkout.
Yeah. I don't even think yours says go to, like, add to cart. I think it just says checkout.
It does.
Might have add to cart. I can't remember.
Most people don't buy more than one thing. Pretty much just mouth guards.
That's ridiculous.
So, well, I don't really sell much more than mouth guards, though. So I guess it shouldn't bother me.
Dude, you know our guest tonight has a pretty tough fight coming up.
Who does?
Our guest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Oh, hold on. Sorry. Sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
Was that your friend and mine, Lily? Dude, let her talk. Let her make her radio debut tonight.
Lily. Go ahead, Rob. Yeah, maybe.
Hi, Lily.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. What are you doing?
What's your effort? Well, I'm talking to your dad on the radio about. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Nothing? What did your dad feed you tonight?
Yes, what did I feed you tonight?
Nothing.
Nothing. We don't eat here.
Nothing.
She ate yesterday.
Oh,
every other day.
She ate yesterday? I heard that you had her on the anaconda diet, like, once or twice a month, maybe.
Well, you just eat, like, a live rabbit once a month?
No.
No? Like a mouse?
No.
No. Yeah, she's on the radio, so that's why you got to talk. Sit there. That's horrible radio when nobody's talking, huh? So you got to say stuff to them. Okay? You good?
What's happening?
I don't know. You can't. That's not on the radio. Go get yourself off. Sorry, Rob.
No, that's all right. This is what happens during, you know, real radio, bro. You're like,
come in.
You're Mr. Mom. You kind of remind me of, let's see, Michael Keaton in that movie, Mr. Mom. I think that would be a good Halloween costume for you. Maybe to dress up as Michael Keaton.
We got the same hair. Same hairline.
Not much. Not much.
Not much, yep. Got a five head, got a forehead.
So what was the best fight you saw last night?
Best fight was between Jesse Busta Nutting and Cody Henderson. That was the best fight.
Yeah, who won? I bet Henderson won.
He won, a split decision. And Cobo was really pissed off, but it was a... I think that fight was, although it was a split decision, the right guy won. But it was close. One round of each and then one close round. But Nutting went backwards a bit too much. And, you know how that goes. You just can't do that when it's close. Whoever was moving forward, just hearing the dictating the pace, then that could be the difference. That was kind of the difference. And he missed more, but he threw more. So he felt like he was busier. But Cody's were pinpoint. His were counted more. That was good. Good fight. Ben Henderson was there, the old UFC champ. So
yeah.
A lot of the people there like that.
Did you get
little.
His picture?
I didn't think he was tall. Who are these people he's standing around when I see him in these pictures? Because he looks tall, and he's short, shorter than me.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't think I thought he was tall. Not even close. He's small like his mom.
No, so why don't you prepare the people for a conversation about Cage Warrior Combat 9 here in a little bit. Tell them about the event while I call our guest.
Okay. Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure. Next Saturday at the Kent Showers Center in Kent, Washington, there's Cage Warrior Combat 9, with the main event being Jeff Monson against Mike. Okay. You get yourself on hold. A guest calling on the show.
We're fixing that. It's just easier this way. just figure if it's good enough for Skippy, it's good enough for us.
He sets the standard for us.
Your
right?
call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 808-354-2724.
I don't leave voicemail. I'll give him a shout back here in 5 minutes. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll just...
I'm messaging him right
so,
now.
Cage Warrior Combat 9, Kent, Washington, Showwear Center. Are you excited? It's going to be a little bit
I'm
different
excited.
Event for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't have to do anything. I think I might just get to drink beer and watch because everything I do is done by the state this time. So that could be sweet. I would love to just be, go there and watch the fights and have a few beers. Because there's some great fights. There's some really interesting fights. They're all interesting to me. All of them are just, there's something about them that I want to see, whether it's somebody who hasn't fought in a long time or you know, somebody who I think is real good or it's a real even matchup. There's something in every fight that I find interesting. So I think the first fight of the night could be an outstanding fight with Alex Corrales against Chris Wheaton. That fight, they're real similar styles of being real busy and lots of, you know, just busy. There's going to be a lot of action in that fight. And standing up, that's a pretty even fight. On the ground, it definitely would give the advantage to Alex, but standing up, that could be an interesting one.
It'll be interesting because I know that Chris will probably be about as close to Alex's speed as probably anybody Alex has fought.
He's usually faster, huh?
Oh, yeah, dude. By a long ways. But Chris is a pretty quick guy. Huh?
You call the 808 number. You call the 808 number, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 808. I called the number that you gave me.
Okay. I'm just going to double check it on what I have here. Make sure I sent the right thing. Well, I'm sure I did because I never would get something wrong. Maybe. Let's do that. Yeah, what about you? What fights on there jump out at you?
For me?
Yeah. Which one do you find you would like out of them all, this is the one you want to see?
Brokenshire Ford, Williams Johnson.
Yeah, that one's going to be interesting to see how he stacks up against, you know, because he's such a tough regional guy. What's he like when he's spread out a little bit, you know? Is he going to smash DeMarcus or is he going to be for the fight of his life? It's going to be interesting.
Isn't everything a pro fight?
Yes, all pro fights.
I thought.
12.
I got to make sure I get that fixed over at Tapology.
What's it got? Some amateurs?
Yeah, it's got the Ben Fodor, Alex Corrales, and Nick Ryan, Victor Barajas.
Yeah, no.
All
bunch of
amateurs.
Debuts. Yeah, debuts, but not... Not amateur. That's going to be great. I'm already booking the card for the next one on January 25th. The next big one.
So it's going to be...
Still going to be pros. There's going to be pros on November 16th and pros on December 13th and then pros on January 25th and every month pretty much. The pros aren't going away at the point. We're just going to have less. And I have like two instead of seven. It's just too much for that size building and that how many people you can get over there. So let me see, scale back the pros a little bit. And should work out.
I think it'll be interesting, dude. The plan for Cage Warrior Combat moving into 2014 is to do one card a month, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, as of now. That could change a little bit depending on what the point contract runs out. So when that runs out, then it depends on if we do another one. If we do another one, then there'll be more than one a month. As the way it is now, there's one a month, and they're supposed to all be big ones. Yeah. So we'll see.
Are they in the big room at the Showwear Center?
Yes. Yep. So it fits like 7,800. Which I'm sure they're going to, I hope they'll cut it off or something, or they scale it down somewhat. Otherwise, it's going to look really empty with, you know, 3,000, 3,500 people inside of it. It's going to be empty when one of those half full. You know, it's going to be, I'm sure they scale it down somehow. should be a great place, though. Great place to see fights. I saw Strikeforce there. Watched Landon Schwalter fight there. It's a nice place. New, lots of parking that you don't pay for. That's nice. Never had that at Vince.
All right, let's try Yancey again. Did you hear from him?
I sent the manager a message.
Oh. Did you hear back from him?
Just wait the number. I wonder if he's waiting for it to be my number calling. That would be weird, though. Maybe not.
Well, we're about to find out.
He has a number for us, too.
Oh, here we go.
That's the right number.
Wicked awesome.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Okay, so let's go back to Stellar Cage Warrior Combat fight card. It's kind of interesting that I'm not really, you know, a lot of the fights that people would normally think that you people, you know, like the Mike Hayes, Maurice Smith, Jeff Munson, you know, those aren't really the ones that are intriguing me.
Me either.
This Drew Brokenshire-Sterling Ford fight, to me, is really interesting.
Yeah, it's like can be told. It'll be interesting to see how Sterling handles the cut and the whole. Oh.
Because for me, I've never seen Drew in cruise control. You know? But I've seen Sterling in his fights, he goes into cruise control a lot. Now, that might be different because he's with Anthony Hamlet now. But I have seen that in the two times I've seen him fight. And Drew is just like constantly moving, action, 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 action.
I've seen him go slow before too, but it's not since he turned pro. It's like the difference between him now and as an amateur. As an amateur, he wasn't nonstop action. Now he's just nonstop pressure. That makes a big difference.
Oh, for sure, dude. I mean, how come he's got the Cage Sport featherweight title, man?
Yeah.
Or had it? Did he relinquish it yet?
For your combat title, so.
Did he relinquish the Cage Warriors or the Cage Sport? Did he relinquish the Cage Sport title?
No, he doesn't have to. I think he's got a year. He can't turn down fights. You know, unless something, unless there's a reason. Oh, he said call him now. His phone was dead, and now we'll call. He said call him now. That phone was dead. Oh, look at you go now, Mr. On Hold. So, yeah, that'd be good. It'd be good. Good fights. Are you talking to him on the green room?
Trying. Hello, this is Yancey there.
Hello. Oh, yeah.
Hey,
speaking.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
Not much, buddy. Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Awesome, man. Well, you're on with Jeff and Lopaki, man.
How you doing?
Guys?
Doing good.
I'm doing good. Just finished practice. Oh, hello? You hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
How was practice tonight? Just over phone with Yancey Medeiros right now. Originally fighting out of Hawaii. Now he's down in Stockton.
Yeah. Practice is great. Just finished working out with Rich Perez. Some boxing today. So I'm just getting ready for my fight next week, Wednesday.
What do you think about that middle-of-the-week fight?
It's different, you know. A fight's a fight, whether it's on a Wednesday, a Friday, or a Monday. You know, like, the day doesn't really affect me. I'm kind of glad it's a Wednesday, though, because then I can get home back to Hawaii and enjoy the weekend. You know, just do business the weekday and then go home and enjoy the rest of whatever, love the victory or, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to look at it. You know, you're like, I'll be back in Hawaii by the weekend.
Yeah. You know, I try and make the best of every situation. You know, I'm more excited than the fact that I get to fight Yves than what day I get to fight him on, you know.
Yeah, what is it? I mean, dude, Yves Edwards, I mean, talk about getting to get in there with a guy that's really kind of a living legend of the game. I mean, what's that like for you?
Well, he's a vet. He's a veteran. Like, he's a well-established veteran of the game. You know, I'm so privileged that he took this fight with me. You know, I was actually in high school watching him fight. You know, and I was like, man, this guy talks jiu-jitsu. He's a G. He's real. You know, like that's one thing I really like about him is his character. He doesn't put up a front. You know, Yves Edwards is a real genuine person. And when it comes to fight, he comes to fight, and it's just strictly business. And everything else is just, you know, he'll be cool and social and cordial with his fighters prior and after, which is cool with me. And, you know, that's the type of fighter and the type of person I am, you know. Business is business, and everything is cordial afterwards. It can be cool.
Do you think that maybe sometimes the fans forget that and they think that you guys should never get along with each other?
No, so it's different perspectives, you know. I believe every fighter, it takes a lot of mental, you know, that mental aspect to get in the cage. And some guys can't, you know what I mean? They're not sociable, or they have different personalities or different characteristics going into a fight. For instance, Nate, you know, I live, when I'm in Cali, I live with Nate. Nate's, when he fights, he's going to war. You know, Nick and Nate, they're going to war. They're not over there trying to be all happy. You're going to punch their face the next day. Well, for me, I can take it differently. You know, I can have a smile on. That's just my personality. And I feel like that's what people need to understand. You know, when something big like that's going on, if you're in a street fight, are you going to be all happy? You know, or are you going to be all happy to your opponent? No, you're going to be serious. If you're in a fight, you're going to be serious. You know what I mean? You're not going to play around, or you're not going to be, oh, it's all right. Some guys look at it as a sport, and some guys still take it as a fight. And I just think people need to take that into consideration and understand their perspective.
I totally agree there. You know, I mean, I think that it's got to be, you know, everybody's probably got their little spot that they need to go to be able to walk through that cage door.
Yeah,
unless you've
made
that walk, you can't really sit there and determine how somebody should make that walk.
Yeah, and everyone's different. You know, everyone doesn't fight the same. Everyone doesn't think the same. You know, so I feel like it's, you know, and when I first started fighting, like, I was like, oh, these guys act like punks, or just in general with fighters, you know, like, oh, why do they act like this, or why do they act like that? But, you know, they put so much time and effort, and fighting at this caliber, at this level, it's easier to understand the fighters now. You know, so if I was to fight someone that was trying to get all heavy, you know, all like, looking up on me and getting all mad, then that's how you're going to fight. You know, I'm going to feed off that, but I'll react differently from other people. I don't like necessarily showing that you can get the better of my emotions. You know, like, What was that?
We just picked up an echo somehow.
Oh, hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, got it.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, just like I said, it's understanding how they come off of it and not getting too emotional, I guess, but being ready at the same time.
Now, Yancey, did you do your full fight camp in California?
No, I did half of it. I usually end my fight camps up in Cali because I like to stay with Nate and Nick, and get that and Richard, finish up with Richard and do a bunch. I do a lot of Sambo down here too in Cali. So, you know, I like to finish my camps off. If I have a 2-month camp or whatnot, I usually finish the month off in Cali. You know, and sharpen everything out and prime out for my fight. But other than that, before that, I'm commuting back and forth from Hawaii to Cali throughout the year, just training. Because I have
like
a
week or two
at
a time.
Family. Maybe a month or, you know, I'll stay a month in Cali. I'll come home for a month and stay another month in Cali, stay with Nate. You know, I'm very glad, like, Nate's really open. with me, and, you know, he's my homie, he's my ninja, and he always lets me come, and he's opened his house to me, opens his training, and we just go, and we train with Gilbert, Jake, you know, Nick. Nate and Nick just opened up a new school in Lodi, and Nick's been over there teaching every day, so it's been great, you know. I can't complain. I'm so ready for this fight. I'm so confident. My confidence is through the roof to just do my best, and, you know, have belief in myself that I can win this fight.
How's the thumb?
It's healed. It's cleared. You know, not giving me no problem. Very,
nice.
Very, very happy. Very happy. No, you know, no broken bones, no torn tendon. It's just
wow.
A simple dislocation. And, yeah, the doctor's like, Hawaiian, you got some strong bones. I was like, unfortunate.
Didn't
break nothing.
Yeah, it
didn't, you know,
look like
just,
it's good. Looks bad.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, and Rustam's on that card. So I really want to see how Masvidal handles his style of fighting. So it's an interesting card for me, because then there's those 155ers. There's a bunch of 155ers on that card that, you know, trying to get up there and make their statement.
So does finishing your camps there in Northern Cal, does that help with your diet a lot and making weight, since there's such strict eaters there, and to help you stay on the ball?
Yeah, it helps me stay on the ball big time. You know, usually it's been fortunate every time I'm finishing up or I'm in camp, Nate starting camp or finishing up camp too. So Nate fights in the end of November. So he started his diet, and he's going hard, and we're just on the same page with eating and training. So everything's going great, and it's always great when you have someone not necessarily dying with you, but, you know, feeling that pain and sharing that pain with you. It's easier, and it's easier to stay motivated and know what you're doing is, you know, I'm doing the right thing, and you don't get I'm not depressed about not eating. Well, I am, but, or, you know, cutting my food consumption back, but it's easier when people are with you doing the same thing, cutting weight with you, dieting with you, you know, training hard with you. It's very, very motivating, and it doesn't really hinder me when I'm by myself, or it doesn't take effect compared to when I'm trying to do this by myself. I'm not as my anxiety, I ain't getting much anxieties, or it's just, I'm real calm and collected.
You still eating meat?
No, I don't eat no meat, you know, seafood. I eat white meat, seafood. No, I kind of stay away from I stay away from red meat.
No. Not a vegan.
No chicken. No, I will do vegan. Like, I'm more of a vegan towards the end of my camp. You know, I'll stay off this. I'll try and stay off the meat, because it's heavy on me, and my cut's really easy. And I walk around at like 185, so I gotta cut. I gotta cut really smart and nutritiously.
Yeah, that's a ways.
How did you give up the
Loco
Moco?
Wait, what, excuse me?
Hold on. How did you give up the Loco Moco?
I got my ass into Cali and lived with Nick and Nate, you know. And at first, eating was the train, and then it became a way of life. It was a lifestyle. Nutrition is a lifestyle. It's not a choice, you know. Or I mean, it's not a diet. I don't eat. My diet isn't seasonal. It's just how I eat. I choose to eat this way. But vegan wise, I'll go vegan. I'll try and stay like vegan prior to my fight. Like now, as I'm cutting, I'll lay off the meat, the seafood. Excuse me. I'll lay off the seafood. Eat more fruits and veggies, and, you know, get my protein in another way.
So what's with the crazy people running out of the audience grabbing your mouth guards from you?
Oh,
what kind of crazy
man,
woman was that?
I have no clue. I was just all bummed. And, you know, I was all bummed about the loss. So I was just shaking everyone. I was glad. You know, people were shaking my hands and taking my hat off. And they're asking for my shirt. And then this lady all the way on the top. She's like, yeah, let me shake your hand. And I had my mouthpiece in my hand. And I couldn't use my other hand, because it was broken, so I just reached up to shake her hand, and she grabbed my mouthpiece, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you gonna keep my mouthpiece? And she's like, can I have it? I'm like, oh, okay, and I walked to the back. I don't even remember.
You could never use it again.
Yeah, you know, like, you can't even fit that in your mouth. You know, I literally looked at her eyes. I was like, you really gonna take my mouthpiece? Like, and I can't, like, I couldn't, like, jump up and grab it or ask for her. It was, like, high. I literally tippy-toed and, like, try to, like, reach her hand to, like, grab her hand and slap it. She was reaching, like, she was, like, going all out, you know. She was, like, reaching to see, like, she shake my hand. She was grabbing my mouthpiece. She got me good. I was hella bummed. Right. I was so bummed out. I was like, damn, this is one of the best mouthpieces I wore.
Well, I got another one right here for you, so it'll be...
I'm not even trying to ride your jock or anything. It's a very comfortable mouthpiece. Clinch mouthpiece is the shit. The bomb, man. Buy it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Super comfortable, easy to breathe, you know. Nothing hurts. You know, my jaw's not sore, my teeth, my gums. It's perfect. I love it.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, this one will be even better.
If the lady gave you your mouthpiece back, would you have cleaned it before putting it in your mouth again or just thrown it back in at the next practice?
Oh, of course I'll be cleaning it. You know, I'm a fighter, but I ain't dirty. Oh, I'm Hawaiian, but I ain't dirty, man. You know, I'm trying to keep my cleanliness and clean hygiene is a must for me. You know, at practice, you know, like if I'm fighting and my mouthpiece drops on the mat, I'm going to grab it and put it back in my mouth. Of course, but that's a fight. You know, if I have the chance to wash it off, I will. But in the midst of a fight, it's time to get down and dirty, you know, and get real. And you can be worrying about washing my mouthpiece. You know, I'll put it back in and fight. But, yeah, if I drop it on the ground after walking around, I'm going to for sure wash it. I'm not in that fight mode anymore. You know, ain't no beast mode no more. I'm like, oh, dang, clean it up. You know, just like in practice, you got all these aches and pains before practice, and at practice you don't feel it. Then afterwards you're like, oh, my God, my hip, my back. You know, everything just adrenaline goes away. And it's the same thing with being clean. During practice you're getting all sweaty with everybody. But right after practice, I ain't jumping in my car unless I take a clean shower. I hate driving home sticky and smelly. You know, it's such an uncomfortable feeling, especially if you got a commute from San Francisco all the way to Stockton. That's like an hour and a half, 2-hour drive. I ain't sitting in no car, hella stink, sweaty, and sticky. No way.
It wouldn't be that bad if it was just your sweat. But then it's like 6-8 other dudes' sweat, like, combined in with your sweat.
Exactly. It's like 6-7-8 dudes, and it's on you. What if they had staff or something? I want to wash it off as soon as practice is done.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, cleanliness is a huge thing. It's a really big thing, especially with Nick and Nate. They ain't dirty people. You know, everything they do is real clean. We go sauna, we put our slippers on, put our flip-flops on. You know, we don't even want to, in a 24-hour sauna, we put our slippers on, walk around, all the sweat on the ground. We stepping on people's sweat.
Dude, I do that same thing, man. I don't even like walk in the showers at the gym I go to without having something on my feet.
Exactly, because you just know, you just feel like you're stepping in whatever, you know, you don't know what you're stepping in.
Yeah. You can figure it out, though. No thanks.
Nah, nasty. Sweat. I don't even want to step in that, you know. Ugh. It's funny because when you're outside of training, when you're in training, you always think of it's like it's nothing. But then when you're out, you're dry, he's wet, you're like, don't touch me. You're dirty, fool. Get away. I'm done beating.
Yancey, prior to that Ruslan fight, you had quite a bit of time off. That time to stay active and keep on point.
Oh, I'm sorry, you broke up, man. Could you repeat that again?
Leading into the Ruslan fight, you had quite a bit of time off, like about just like maybe 2.5 years. What were you doing in that time period to stay active?
I kept training, you know. I had an ACL injury, and I really wanted to fix my knee, but I was still contracted with Strikeforce. And then just in the whole year of 2012, Strikeforce was having fights, but they kept having fallouts, remember, at the end of the year and whatnot. And I was, like, set to fight and whatnot, and it just wasn't working out. And I wasn't in a rush. I was more concerned about making myself a better fighter, and I was in the process of dropping to 155 from 185. So I was like, you know, and when Strikeforce came, they said, oh, you want to fight on me? Yeah, 170. Nothing came up. I just kept training, kept working on my strength and conditioning, and I ended up and got got more strict on my nutrition, and everything just kept falling into place. And I was already walking at 170. I was like, I'm not gonna sandbag this. No, I can make 55.
Wow. What year did you turn pro?
Sheer Dog. I don't know. My first four fights are amateur. And on Sheer Dog, it's like all of my fights are professional. So I turned pro like after the first four fights. So my fifth fight was when I fought Poai Suganuma, was my first pro fight. So 2009, I believe. I started MMA when I was 20, 21, which is only 5 years ago. You know, actually like having a jiu-jitsu class and, you know what I mean, like just doing the whole MMA thing, just training in general. I was like 245 pounds, and I just wanted to train, and then just started training, and you know, I ended up having a passion for it and thought it could be a career that I could support my family and my daughter. And everything's just been going great from here. You know, I have a lot of support, great training partners, great team in California and Hawaii. Awesome family support. I can't complain. You know, I'm always smiling and I'm always happy. And I'm you know, ready to represent, especially Hawaii.
What was it that got you into, like, was it just the workout aspect of MMA, or was it
to
fight? I mean, I know that fighting's kind of a pastime on the island.
Fighting where I live on the west side of Oahu, which is the poor side, and everybody has a lot of pride there. You know, everyone has a lot of pride, and there's a lot of boxers where I live, and I used to wrestle in high school, and then I had a daughter, and I got really big, and I started working full time. You know, I wasn't paying attention. I didn't work out or anything, just focusing on working my daughter, no nutrition. And I just, you know, one day I looked at myself, and I'm just like, dude, you need to do something with yourself. You're hella fat. So I started working out. I started working out with Kavika Pa'alui. He got me into it, and he's like, hey, you want to train? Started training in a garage. From the garage, a couple months later, went to this small hole-in-the-wall gym, and I still train there to this day. I'm still training in this hole-in-the-wall gym when I'm in Hawaii, my stand-up. You know, and I still pay homage to that, but I was always competitive. I took karate from the age of 5, and I stopped taking karate at the age of 20, got my blessings from my professor, and pursued MMA from there.
When you asked your professor about doing that, did he have any reservations, or was he completely supportive of it?
At first he was, you know, that back in like the early 90s, you know, MMA was getting big, but it wasn't like as big as it is now. So he wasn't, you know, had a bunch of karate schools, and my professor is very, very, I was trained on the Universal Kempo Karate Schools and under Martin T. Buell, and he has over 130 schools around the world. You know, he's very successful, and he was actually, you know, he didn't approve of it, you know, he's just like, why are you going to do this? He's been in the promotion game before, he just knows how much times people, fighters with so much talent and opportunity get burnt. You need to watch out who you're with and what kind of associations you have, because some of them just want your money. And then hence why I'm with Nick and Nate. You know, those guys are the realest guys you can ever meet. They're real. They're character. You know, they're not going to front. They're not going to be somebody they're not. Nick, and that's what I surrounded myself around, people like that, training like that. They just want to train hard. They don't consider themselves MMA athletes. They consider themselves martial artists. You know, that's the way they look at it, and that's the way I like to look at it, you know, coming from karate, treating this as, it's a sport, yes, everyone thinks MMA is a sport, but, you know, it's a martial art, and I'm all about that. I'm all about being a martial art. I'm all about being a ninja, you know, like staying in that, having that humility, having that way of train of thought. You know, like, if I never went to karate, I'd be this typical punk wanting to fight everybody I see. You know, because I knew how to, like, if I did anything. So karate really taught me to be humble, really, really disciplined, really gave me discipline and loyalty. So I owe a lot from my upbringing, from my parents, and from karate for the person I am today, the martial artist I am today. Excuse me.
So did you get extra enjoyment out of that head kick KO from Lyota with both of you guys sharing that karate background?
Well, you know, Lyoto's a great karate practitioner. I really like his style. I like how he utilizes his karate. But, you know, for me, like, I want to be more offensive. You know, I want to bring the fight. Why did the UFC hire me? Because they want me to entertain. They don't want me over there not entertaining. I have to go in there and give you guys a show, give my supporters a show, give them a fight. So I train hard, and I train with the people that want to fight, that want to give a fight. They're not over there trying to win. They're not trying to lose. You know, some guys go into the fights not trying to win but not trying to lose. You know, I'm going in there looking to finish, looking to bring the fight, you know, making my opponent respect me, enforcing my will on my opponent and bringing it to him. Regardless if I win or lose, if you beat me, you're going to be the better fighter. That's why you beat me. You didn't beat me because I gave up. You beat me because you're a better fighter. You trained better. It was your night. And I can live with that, you know. I don't like losing. But if he's better than me, then, hey, I'm a martial artist. So what I want to do, I'm going to go back to the drawing board, make myself better, and compete again. And I feel looking at it that way, it's easier for me to keep training and keep my motivation. You know, I can have a bad day at practice and hate my name. Man, I got caught today. You know, I got Nate beat me up. I got tapped out a bunch of times. But you know what? Tomorrow, it ain't going to change. You can't be a bitch about it. You got to go and just roll with it and suck it up and keep fighting. So I'm glad, like, you know, I can't thank Nick and Nate, Nate especially enough for having me here and, you know, treating me like a bro, a brother, a homie, you know, and like I owe a lot to him. So, you know, thanks, Nate. It's a big help. You've been a big help, bro.
Now, one of the cool things that you mentioned earlier in the interview is that you spend a lot of time doing Sambo. And what
yes.
did you find maybe – did you do that prior to the Khabib fight too?
Of course, yeah. I have a Sambo coach. His name is Val Ignatov, and he coaches out of CSA Combat Sports Academy in Dublin. And he's great. You know, Nick and Nate's been doing Sambo forever. Like, you know, all these UFC guys, it's kind of, oh, Sambo's a new thing. Nick and Nate's been doing Sambo forever, since back in the day. Like, they've been doing Sambo, like, you know, religiously like they do jiu-jitsu. You know, that's why they're martial artists. You see, they're very open-minded. They do all the martial arts. It's not like they're against certain arts of, or, you know, forms of fighting. And they've been doing that. You see all those judo trips and judo throws. Like, people think that's judo. That's from Sambo. You know, Nate, when he does all those throws, that's Sambo throws. You know,
yeah.
People think it's, he utilizes judo, but he learned that from doing Sambo.
What did you think
You know,
or
what was that?
What did you think about Khabib's Sambo?
Khabib, he's impressive. You know, you seen how fast he took my back? But I was ready for that. You know, my Sambo coach drilled that in me. He drilled that in me. You know, that's the tendency of Sambo guys. They're going to fly you. You got to know what to do. That's his forte. He grabs you, he gets behind, and he flies you. He souffles you. You know what I mean? Like, he's good at what he does. You can't hate on that. You can't. You know, he's good at what he does. But I was ready for that fight. I was ready for him. You know, he grabbed my back. My Sambo coach is like, you know what to do. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I know what to do. He ain't gonna do shit to me. But it's in my head. I'm thinking that, you know, I don't treat the fighter
yeah.
like that. I'd be as respectful as possible, but in my head, I'm going to kill. You know, I'm going to smash. But that's what it is. So, you know, Sambo's been around with Nick and Nate and this whole camp for a long, long time. They've utilized it a lot. You know, it's been we've been training this. I've trained Sambo since I started training with Nick and Nate, which was 3 years ago.
I think that Sambo is one of the most underutilized techniques, you know, and it's good to see that there's guys that are still utilizing that. I didn't know that Nick and Nate and you guys all did that much Sambo down there, but it's good to hear because It's highly effective.
It is. It's highly effective. You see it. You see all the Sambo guys. They're on the rise right now. There's a bunch of Russians. You know, but we got Sambo, and I'll be there. But I really hope, you know, like, I'll be able to utilize it in this fight. I've been doing a lot of training, and, you know, I really want to utilize everything I've learned this past camp, especially for this fight. Yeah, you know, Richard's
killing
me. Do
you find going into this fight you have a little bit more of a chip on your shoulder?
Nah, there is no chip. You know, I feel like I'm rejuvenated and lifted. You know, I ain't got nothing to prove, and I ain't got anything to prove but to myself on what I can do. You know, I want to show everyone, all my supporters, all my fans, everyone that believes in me, that I put 100% into training. I mean, I leave Hawaii to go train in horrible California with winter, you know, in fall. Like, instead of being in Hawaii with a nice sun, you know, like, all I come down, they're like, Yancy, what are you doing? You crazy? You come here in fall time. It's horrible here, you know, like, I'm like, hey, I got to do what I got to do. I got to be where I got to be. It is what it is. You know, I have, and it's worse because I live in Stockton, and that's like allergy country. You know, it's all farmland, so it's just allergy. You know, when spring comes, it's horrible. I have to live through hell. You know, I get allergy attacks, but that makes me stronger. I have to endure. You know, not a lot of people can do that. Not a lot of people can leave home, go somewhere else by themselves, and just try and go along with the flow. But that's part of my process. That's part of my training. That's part of my mental toughness. I got to handle that. I got to endure that. You know, and that helps me stay motivated.
No, I think that's awesome, man. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, that's a sacrifice that a lot of fighters make that people don't ever see. They just think you guys show up and then, you know, you throw down and then you go home and that's the end of it. But, you know, you're leaving your family there on the islands and then coming here to train. And
hello? Hello? What was that?
Are you hanging out? Who's hanging out with R2-D2?
Who's that?
I don't know. There was just some weird computer noises going on in the background. I think it's Jeff.
Oh, man, that's the door. It was the door. It's squeaky door. I was moving.
I was like, man, that sounded like that little dude from Star Trek, Star Wars, or whatever the hell that show was.
Every time I pass that door, now you're going to make me think of that. I'm going to open the door. Oh, RTD2.
Dude, that's sweet. Hey, Yancy, you know, I mean, dude, we've had you here for quite a while tonight, man. We appreciate you taking the time to come out. Do you want to give everybody a gym, where people can find you on social media so they can track you and what's going on with your career?
Oh, yeah. You know, Instagram, Yancy Medeiros, pretty good, easy. Facebook, Yancy Medeiros, or Twitter, Y Medeiros, but I'd like to thank all my boys in Hawaii that helped me for this camp prior. You know, everyone. I can't be naming names, but thank you guys. Like, it's just too much people. And then Nick, you know, West Oahu MMA at home, Gracie Technics and HQ headquarters, wrestling in Hawaii. And then over here, Nick Diaz Academy, Gracie Fighter Lodi. Thank you all the boys helping me right now. CSA, Val Ignatov, my Sambo coach, and Richard Perez doing my boxing. Thank you guys. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys, you know. Thank you guys a lot. Mahalo.
And then when will you be making the trip out to Kentucky? Will you leave like Saturday, Sunday next weekend?
I leave Saturday, yeah. I leave on Saturday, so I'll be there Saturday night.
Your guard will be there on Wednesday.
No, I'm going to be there on Saturday.
No, your mouth guard that I made for you will be there on Wednesday.
Oh, perfect. Hell yeah. Nice.
Cool.
Thank you, man.
Take a picture when you get off the phone. Or there'll be a picture on your phone.
All right, perfect. And I'll post it up.
Cool.
Awesome, everybody. That's Yancy Medeiros. Yancy, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight, bro. We look forward to your fight here November 6th against what the hell's the guy's name again?
Eves Edwards.
Yeah, with Eves,
yeah,
dude.
Thank
and,
you, guys.
We look forward to having you back on in the future, bro.
Oh, anytime. Call me up anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Yancy.
All right, guys. You guys have a good one.
You too.
You too.
Cool. Good guy. Good guest.
Yeah, no, dude. Seems like a really cool guy. Dude, like, you know, just another cool dude down in Stockton.
Let's have a break, huh? Have a halftime and then come back and go Kid Warrior Combat preview.
Well, yeah, hold on. I wanted to talk about Josh Redinghouse real quick.
Sure.
Did you get to watch that fight?
I watched the second and third round. I didn't realize that it had started, and then Skippy told me, so I jumped right on, and I did see the second and third. It looked good.
Dude, I'm not shitting. I didn't see the last 4 minutes of the fight. I had to go to the football game. But the first two rounds were the best Josh Redinghouse I've ever seen. I don't know where that Josh Redinghouse was in the fight with Corey Von Bahr, but he would have whipped Corey Von Bahr's ass, I think.
Those were Olympic takedowns he was stuffing. I mean, wow.
Metal pretty Olympic impressive. Takedown.
Yeah.
I mean, I had never seen Josh look that good in any of his fights.
Me either, and this is short notice. Kind of a hard little weight cut to make it, and yet he looks better than ever.
Yeah.
He should not plan ahead, I think. He should just don't plan ahead. Take everything last minute. You still give me 2 weeks' notice on everything.
Dude, I was reading in a chat, and somebody said that Josh Redinghouse looked like he could be the Rory McDonald of the 125 division.
Maybe.
I saw a lot of people. I talked to a lot of people yesterday that watched his fight from parts of the country that had never seen Josh fight, and a lot of people were impressed with his performance.
Nice. That's what I like to hear. People who have no idea who he is. Those are the opinions that are really interesting.
I'll tell you, I didn't even pick him to win the fight.
Oh, what was it, like 93-7 on Tapology for him or against him?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, I was thinking, you know, dude, that if Corey Von Bahr was able to throw him around like he did at Cage Sport. But, man, wow, I was completely wrong. I mean, Josh.
There was something wrong with him within that fight. I can't remember what he told me. I think he had been sick or he had a real bad weight cut. He wasn't prepared. And so he says there were some reasons why he looked so poor in the Corey Von Bahr fight. So that fight could happen again in the future, probably not the near future. Now that he's kind of moved on to bigger and better things, I don't think we're going to see him locally anytime soon. Not by the signs of yesterday.
No. I mean, not unless they put him on that December 7th World Series of Fighting Canada card.
That'd be cool. I want to go to that. That's close. It's like an hour and a half away.
Yeah. Hopefully Carl will be able to make it down there and enjoy that.
Yeah,
all right, well, hey, we're going to do a halftime. We're going to come back. We're going to give you guys some music here for a couple minutes. We're going to get things ready for the second hour, in which we will be talking nothing but Cage Warrior Combat 9. We're going to finish overviewing this whole fight card for you guys, and then we might even open the phone lines for you if you – about 5 minutes from now, we'll talk to you on the flip side, folks.
From across the street, and Beat Street is a lesson too, because you can't let the street beat you. Well, a picture can express 1,000 words to describe all the beauty of life you give. And if the world was yours to do over, I know you'd paint a better place to live, where the colors would swirl and the boys and girls can grow in peace and harmony, and where murals stand on walls so grand as far as the eyes are able to see.
looks on your face, that there'll never be one to take your place. Cause each and every time you touch a spray paint can, Michelangelo's soul controls your hands. Send serenades of blue and red, and the beauty of the rainbow fills your head. Crescendo colors play in tune. Man, why oh why did have to die so soon? Say it, 1, 2, 3, 4, and just let me know what you came here for. And just clap your hands, everybody, and let me know that I'm not alone. And if you knew my man when he was alive, scream it out and say, Ramon! Ramon! I'm talking about ashes to ashes and dust to dust, where the good die young and all die must. Cause that life must live, death must die, and the tears shall fall from the living eye. Tell me who's gonna dream the impossible dreams of the beautiful cities and the islands dream, when your works of art brought into being all that the ghetto stopped you from seeing. Still life urban masterpiece, your trademark was written on chains and walls. A $1 million gift only God released, and yet you got killed for nothing at all. So after this there'll be no more hard times, no more bad times, and no more pain. No more chump change, none of that bull, just movies, museums in the hall.
Forget tonight's, as with every night's episode, every episode of the Sunday Night MMA Breakdown is brought to you by Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. You can go check out their great product line at getclinched.com. That's clinched with a K. House.com. You know, if you need live results to pretty much about any event on the course of any day of the week, especially Friday and Saturday, I would say go to MMAMadhouse.com. They are the king of MMA results for local and regional stuff. They don't really waste their time with the big, dumb shows. But the ones that are little that everybody else needs to know about, that's where you can find MMA Madhouse. And, of course, the creator of the greatest theme song in the history of theme songs, Mikey Ruckus. You can check find him on SoundCloud, iTunes. He just dropped a new EP about a month ago. Go make sure you pick that up for Mikey. He's doing some big things right now. He was just down at World Series of Fighting last night in Florida. So go check out Mikey Ruckus. And now we'll get back to the regularly programmed Cage Warrior Combat 9 preview with the Sunday Night MMA Breakdown. And now, if any of you savages want to call in, 310-742-1799, oh. Let's just see who we got here. 253, who's in the room?
Drew.
Drew Brokenshire.
Brokenshire. Look at this guy. One of the guys in my, one of my favorite fights of the night that hasn't even happened yet, Drew Brokenshire, your current Cage Sport featherweight champion. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
What do you think, dude? You're 5 days out.
Oh, I'm feeling good, man. I'm ready to go, you know. My weight's on point. Training's pretty much all done. Just got to, you know, kind of coast into it now.
How do you feel about this fight? What did you think when this fight was brought to you at first? Were you like, well, we're not even in the same weight class, or how did this play out? It's a big fight.
I mean, they just brought it to me, and they said it was going to be a featherweight, so I was happy with it, you know. He's a bigger name locally, and, you know, he's a real experienced guy, so I was definitely excited for it because he's going to be a tough match.
Wow. What kind of problems do you think he poses? What kind of problems does he pose? I guess I don't know how to say it, right?
What kind of problems does he pose?
Well, yeah, you think it's his wrestling? Do you think it's going to be bigger is going to be a problem, or do you think he'll be bigger? He seems like a big guy.
He's definitely going to be taller, and he'll have a longer reach, that's for sure. I think when he cuts down to 45, though, I don't think he'll be too much bigger, you know, weight-wise and everything. I think we'll probably be coming in around the same. But he definitely poses some problems on the feet because, you know, he's a smart and precise striker. So, you know, I got to be careful on the feet, and I'm not too worried that he's going to be doing a whole lot of grappling or wrestling because he usually doesn't from what I know. But then again, he's working with Anthony Hamlet from what I understand. So he could very well be coming in with a game plan to do some wrestling. But either way, I'll be ready to go, and, you know, I'll be ready to meet him wherever the fight goes.
Nice. Bob?
Yeah. I thought you were talking about it. I was just going to let you do some work there for a second. I'm not used to you doing a lot of talking.
I'm usually good for two questions.
Drew, what are some things? What are some things Drew focused on in this camp?
Well, this has been my longest layoff I think I've ever had since I started fighting. So we've been working on everything, you know. I mean, takedown defense and wrestling is always, you know, one of my big things because that's what I've lost my last fight to. Obviously, my conditioning, making sure that's all on point like it has been for the past few fights. And, you know, I've been working a lot of different things just pretty much everywhere. But, mainly with the takedown defense and, you know, being ready for the guy that's going to try and take me down and lay on me.
Now, you mentioned that you think he has been, I know that Sterling has been training with Anthony. Anthony's always been known for his grappling. Do you think that maybe that was something they did specific for you, or do you think that transition was made despite maybe who his opponent was going to be?
I'm not sure. You know, you'd have to ask Sterling that, but, you know, I think it definitely could bring some interesting things I have to deal with on the fly, you know, because I'm expecting the Sterling that, you know, we've seen before, but he could be a whole new animal with changing camps.
Yeah, both good camps. Both good camps for sure, but it is different. There's a big difference between Dennis Holman and Anthony Hamlet.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. So, you know, hopefully I'll be ready for whatever he brings to the table.
You usually are, so far. I heard that J.J. Lopez is coming back. J.J. Lopez will be back at Pro Fight January 25th, so maybe you get that rematch here in the near future.
Yeah, you never know, you know. We'll see if fate brings us back together. I definitely wouldn't be opposed to it. I've never gotten a rematch with somebody who's defeated me, so, you know, it'd be fun to get that someday.
Oh, you'll get it. You'll get it.
Is that frustrating as a fighter, Drew?
At first it was, you know, back in the day, because even, you know, back when JJ beat me and even John Albert, you know, they went pro shortly after they beat me, so I didn't quite get the chance to redeem myself. But after that, I mean, I got used to it. You know, I haven't had too many losses since then, but, you know, when it happens, I don't really dwell on it. I just learn from, you know, the mistakes I made and what got me beat, and then, you know, I move on, and the ultimate goal is being a world champion, the best in the world. So if I run into those guys again on the way there, great. But if not, you know, it is what it is. If I'm a world champion, then that's redemption enough.
I would say. That's for sure. Hey, you fought Johnny Gilbertson and Gabriel Solario. How do you see that fight? How do you see that matchup? You got experience with both guys.
I think it'll be exciting for sure. I mean, it depends. I watched Johnny's last fight, and he did a lot of wrestling. And, you know, I think that Gabriel is definitely going to be smaller. So, for my opinion, I can see Johnny controlling it with wrestling and winning the decision. But Gabriel's dangerous on his feet, so you never know what can happen before it gets to the ground.
Sure. It's a good fight, for sure. Any other fights on the card that are interesting to you? There's a lot of big names in the area matched up. We don't usually see cards like this. Anything besides you and Sterling that you find kind of interesting? I was really looking forward to the Eddie Ellis Wild Beer Bomb fight. I thought that would be great. You know, a matchup of two guys that have high status in that region, and that would have been a great fight. But some of these other ones are kind of similar.
Yeah, you know, I know Ian Williams is fighting DeMarcus Johnson, and I think that'll be interesting just because I've seen Ian fight for a long, long time, and to see him kind of step up in competition to somebody who's been on, like, the UFC stage. So that'll be a cool thing to see. But I'm also just interested to see how these guys that are coming back from long layoffs, like Maurice Smith, just to see how they come back and how they look when they come to perform. You know, so I'm excited for all the fights because there's some good matches on there, but definitely the ones that come after my fight. So I'll try and be getting out there as soon as I'm done to watch those ones go down.
Yeah, I think you're 5 from the end, something like that. But you get to see Rob Kent. Well, you can't see Rob Kent right then. He's before you. He's the guy that broke your record at Cage Sports for selling tickets. You're crazy. You guys, I don't know how you get so many fans. It's crazy. Place goes
oh, yeah, right on.
Yeah, he sold like 240 tickets.
Crazy.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's great to see that kind of support in the area. It helps all the cards, helps all the fights.
Yeah, definitely.
More money to the sport. Well, thanks for calling, man. Just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes and see how you felt about the fight. And I'm just excited to see it all go down. I can't wait.
Yeah, man, I can't wait either. I'm excited, and I'm 100% ready to go. And, you know, now it's just playing the waiting game until it goes down. So I'm just ready for this week to be over and to get in there and get it done.
Hey, Drew, give your sponsors a shout-out. Let everybody know where you're training at and how they can follow you on social media, bro.
Well, yeah, just look me up on, you know, Facebook, Drew Brokenshire, or Drew the Eternal Fire Brokenshire. I'm on Twitter at the Eternal Fire MMA. Yeah, those are the main two things I go on. As far as sponsors go, Mariansky Plumbing, Action Tattoo, Edge Personal Training out in Ballard, Universal, West Coast Fight Team, they're where I train mainly, and they're a great group of guys. They've been helping me a ton in the last 2 years. And Ludus FC, Trevor Jackson, Northwest Fight Scene, and that's pretty much it. The Academy of Brian Johnson as well. I do some work down there with those guys. So just thanks to all those guys for always supporting me and helping me out getting ready for this fight.
Hey, did you see anything last night at the smoker that you had to pick your jaw up off the floor?
No, I mean, there were some younger kids that were throwing down like crazy, man. They're like little wild men, but nothing too crazy went down, luckily. I was reffing most of the fights, and, you know, I just try and keep everybody from getting their heads knocked off. So it was really competitive night. All the matches were pretty well done, and there was nobody in there that just got, you know, clobbered, which is a great night for me.
What was it like being the third guy in the cage?
Well, you know, it's intense. It's a tough thing. I've done it quite a few times now, so I'm getting more comfortable in there. But it's far more stressful than fighting for me. I mean, I hate to see somebody else get hurt on because of something I did. So it adds a bit of stress to it. And it's the same thing when I'm like cornering teammates or, you know, or friends. You know, you don't have the control that you'd like. When I'm fighting, I have full control. I know what to do, and, you know, so I'm not nervous about that. But when other people are doing their thing and I can't, like, control what they're doing, it definitely makes the anxiety go up a bit. So I definitely prefer fighting to reffing and cornering, for sure.
Do you ever find yourself thinking, oh, this is what I would do right now?
Well, the main thing I'm thinking is just keep your hands up, or, you know, just simple things like that where I'm just like, I just want to yell at them, like, get your hands up. I don't want to see you get knocked out right now, you know?
Nice.
I just
make
faces
opposite, and just like,
Drew.
Ooh, I'm like wincing and moving out of the way. I find myself like dodging the shots, feeling the bad ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so intense, or so, like, intently watching that, you know, I definitely, like, my arms and stuff will tense up, and I'll be, like, kind of clenching my muscles a little bit, but, yeah, I don't find myself, like, trying to get away from the punches or anything. It's more just that tense moment when I'm just, like, always ready to kind of pounce in between them.
Did you do it in a ring or a cage last night?
It was in a cage.
Have you done it in a ring yet?
I did do a little bit in a ring at the CCMA Smoker several years ago.
Yeah, it sucks, huh? MMA in a ring, a little tough.
Well, luckily, I've only done kickboxing and stuff like that, so I haven't had to deal with the MMA aspect. Though, I was thinking about it last night, and I don't know, it'd almost be a little bit easier because of the grappling. It's a little bit less crazy than striking because, you know, any shot could possibly knock somebody out, but you can kind of see submissions and stuff coming, so you won't be too surprised as in striking, I think.
Yeah. I just get tired of pulling them out of the ropes, constantly pulling people back in, constantly.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for calling, Drew.
Well, right on, guys. Thanks for having me. I'll hopefully talk to you guys again here soon.
Yeah, be well. See you soon.
All right. I'll see you then.
Later.
Awesome. Thanks, Drew.
Bye. No problem.
That's Drew Brokenshire, everybody, your Cage Sport featherweight champion. He'll be fighting at Cage Warrior Combat 9 at the Showwear Center Saturday night. Get your tickets while you can. Are you guys having, like, a ticket sales contest between him and Rob Kahn?
I'd say that. I'd love them to do that on my card. I'll volunteer to host that contest. Because I'm a giver.
It's not what Stormy says.
You're breaking up.
Stormy says you're a taker.
No way. No, I know you're full of it. I'm trying to be, though. I would like to be.
So I think in that fight, I'm going to take Drew Brokenshire via decision.
Yeah?
I think his guy, I mean, I've seen him go 5 rounds now. 1, 2. Didn't he go 5 with Julian?
Yeah.
And then he went 4 plus. Almost 2 full with Shorty. just think his gas tank is just going to be a little too much, and his pace. I think the pace is going to really be what separates that fight.
Guess we'll see how hard an Anthony Hamlet training camp is. It sounds hard, but we'll see. You know? See if it's hard for Sterling. Well, after you saying that you picked Drew Brokenshire, I'd expect to probably hear from him in a second.
But I'm figuring. I'm waiting for him. I'm ready for you, Hamlet. Don't be scared.
He doesn't always listen on Sundays. He doesn't always listen, so I think this is his probably his bath day or something. He's pretty old. Almost as old as me.
So, what fight should we let's talk about one of the big fights. Let's talk about the main event. Mike Hayes, Jeff Munson.
Yeah. It's not my. I'm not the most excited about that fight. I think that Mike Hayes is going to win. But I. It has the potential to be kind of boring, maybe. Of all the fights on the card, I hope it stays. I hope it's a war, and they just stay standing at least half the time, and you know we have a good fight. Every other fight, I don't see any other fights where I'm worried about there not being action, worried about the pace or anything, worried about it being slowed down. Everybody else is going to be bringing the heat. So, but I think that Jeff Monson's got a lot of fights strung together real close, and he's 43 years old, and I don't know how that feels. And so I just think that this is Mike Hayes, what we talked to last week, who sounds real good and happy and in a good spot in his life, sounds ready for this fight, healthy, going into a fight for the first time healthy. I think this is his fight. We'll have to see. What do you think?
I think that Mike can win this fight for sure, man. I think that, you know, he showed me in the last DJ fight, while he might have been on the wrong end of the decision, that it's not going to be easy to take him down. Like he told us, dude, he actually is finally healthy and in good shape where he hasn't been battling injuries, so he's really been able to actually train for the first time in, like, what do you say, 2.5 years, 3 years?
Yeah. Strong training partners.
So I'm pretty sure on that fight I'll be taking Mike positions with Jeff Munson on top.
Yeah. What about the co-main event? Murray Smith and Matt Kovacs. That's too hard to pick.
I don't know how I'm going to pick that fight, to be quite frankly honest with you. It's because it's like one of those fights where I don't think I need to worry about somebody trying to grapple with Matt. But I will tell you.
No. Go ahead, sir.
The favorite.
What? I can't hear you.
There is not a soul on planet Earth that has picked Matt Kovacs.
You're probably right. Although, I'm close. I know that he can beat him. And if he's healthy, which I don't know if he is, I don't know that he's not. I think he's healthy. Then I think he has a real good chance. He's obviously the underdog. Everybody knows that. But I think he has a good chance. The George, whatever his name was, that fought Mo last year, he got his hands on him. If he can get his hands on him, then so can Kovacs. And you know, Kovacs, he can block head kicks for at least for a little bit, and they don't come up too quick. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see Matt take him down. Who knows with Matt? Matt's Matt, man. He's just going to fight. He's going to go out there and try to knock this fucker out who's standing across from him. He doesn't care who he is, where he's from. So, although this will be the biggest star that Matt's ever faced, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets any sort of starstruck, you know, any sort of, because it would be weird to fight somebody that you looked up to your whole life as like this, you know, monster striker, and then, you know, you're fighting them. It's hard not to be somewhat odd.
I agree, dude. I mean, I think it'll be interesting just to see Salivary Jerome Jones. I thought he's fighting Tony King.
Tony King's out, injured.
And I thought he was fighting George Stork.
Fight didn't happen.
What happened to Jared Torgerson?
No fight. He had a fight with Rogue, and they didn't really want that fight. You think Jerome Jones is a good fight for him? So Jerome Jones and Ivan Salisbury.
Who didn't?
Fighting. A little bit a weird matchup. I think it's dangerous. I think Jerome Jones poses some issues. He's going to be fast as hell. He's going to be faster than Ivan, and he's explosive. Ivan's going to be powerful and have the technique. So I think if Jerome can stay standing, he's going to be a lot better off than on the ground. On the ground, I think he's fucked. But standing, he could be all right.
Who wouldn't be? I can think of about three people in his weight range. Dennis Hallman and Matt Hume.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a handful for anybody. He's 42 years old. You know, he's not in his prime. But it's going to be neat to see him fight. I know he's been doing two-a-days with Chaz Jordan and some other guys. So he definitely has been training hard. He looks good. When I saw him, he's definitely a lot leaner, and he looks like he's in shape. So he took it serious. He wants his money. It's pretty cool. You see him fight. But once you get past those three fights,
good shape. You know, that's the thing. Because I don't think I've ever seen
Ivan.
Huh?
I think your phone's breaking up a lot. You keep cutting off.
I'm not on a phone. I'm on my computer. It's been doing that all night. Everybody's been having where it goes click, 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 click.
Okay. Cool.
That's been pretty constant all night. No, but Ivan always seems to be in, like, pretty good shape. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's ever in fight shape, but he's always in, like, good, you know, shape.
Sure. Once we get past those three fights, then it's more of the fights that are like, up-and-comers and not, you know, at the top or on their way, you know, kind of back down or on the backside of their career. All the rest of the fights are really young, up-and-coming fighters that are good. There's some really interesting fights. Especially towards the bottom.
Well, dude, you know what was my favorite fight? My favorite fight? No, dude, my favorite fight that was on this card originally was Thea Wolf and Liz McCarthy.
Yeah. What do you think of that with the number nine in the world?
Huh?
Amy Davis is number nine, 105er in the world. That's what she's got now. So that's something. That's worth the harder opponent. You think?
I don't know that Amy Davis is a harder opponent than Liz McCarthy.
Higher rank. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
Was Liz a, was she a 105er or a 115?
115 and 105. I think Liz was fighting where she could get fights.
Sure. So that, and a lot of the small women, they have to do that or they won't get fights. So it's very possible. I don't know where I put the, I had the list of the rankings, but I don't know where I put it. I'm pretty sure she I didn't think that I saw it Liz on the list.
Oh, I know that Amy Davis is like 2-4 in the last six fights.
Yeah, not on a hot streak.
Yeah. No. And I do think that Thea Wolf will win the contest for most ink in the cage next weekend. Maybe Munson might have more, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I think you're right. She probably does. I saw her last night again, and she's covered. Only way that she would have less is if I was in there. And only because I'm bigger. And she's pretty covered. She's a cool girl.
That may be the only reason that...
She has a great attitude about fighting. She thinks that it doesn't matter where Amy Davis takes her, she's going to have the answer. No matter what she wants to do, she's going to have the answer. That's cool. Great confidence.
Oh,
just like a matter of fact. Even like a,
well,
I mean, I'm
fight.
Hoping to or anything like that. It's
statement.
Didn't she fight Sarah Lagerstrom at Cage Sport?
Yeah, she got her in a tie clinch and kept her there for three rounds, kneeing her. She said that girl's got the hardest head because she need her hard in the head so many times and she didn't go down.
Yeah.
Well, it was hard for us to tell from where we were sitting how hard they were, but there were sure a lot
that
of
was
them.
A scary fight, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for somebody to be hurt. A lot of knees. You don't see that many knees.
Like, I was like, no. I'm curious to see how she recovers from the knee injury. Because she's only about six months out from that. I think that happened about May. Late April, May.
Yeah, you're probably right. She seems good.
But yeah, dude, the chicks fight is going to be wicked awesome.
Rob Can. Rob Iron Man Can. We should have him call in.
Rob Can. Unless you can.
Maybe you should call him.
Rob Can. Oh, we talk to Rob all the time. No.
This is a big fight. Yeah, that's true.
You think?
It's a pretty big fight. Big as most people. And how many people do you think were at Cage Sport? 1,000? Maybe.
How many people were? I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, it was full.
So they normally seat like 18 to 22.
In there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Wow. It doesn't seem that big.
Well, they have like 20 chairs in each section. Something like that. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sections, I think. So we're right about that.
Wow.
And then plus the up behind where, you know, there's even people that sit farther back than we do. And they pay.
That's just the bleachers. You got to be in the bleachers, though.
And you know what's funny? So who have we seen sitting in the bleachers? Like, let's just put a list of people we've seen sitting in the bleachers. I've seen a UFC champion sitting in the bleachers at Cage Sport.
Yeah. Pretty much anybody. I mean, all of the bigger names. A lot of them go and sit up there. It's not easy to get a seat up close there.
Dude, you don't have any AMC fighters here. You don't have any AMC guys on this card, do you?
No. All of the ones that we tried for are busy. There's a lot of, you know, there's one FC and AMC, if you want to fight, there's not very many people that get to fight there, really. They don't have a bunch of local pros. There's like a handful, three guys, four guys. There's nothing.
What are they? Scott McDonald.
Yeah, I think he's still hurt. I don't think he's ready. But I'd sure like to see him. You think of perhaps a dozen guys like to see him fight. Wish he was a little bigger. I think he was a 45er.
Oh, dude, he beat up most of the 45ers, probably.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'd like to see him at that weight.
I like him at 135.
Hey, what?
I like him at
it doesn't seem like there's much enough competition. 45 is a heavy class.
Well, he ain't going to be fighting around. He ain't going to be fighting around King County for much longer.
Well, maybe not ever again. Who knows? If what we saw is a sign of what he's about, then. Although most people I've talked to, they weren't as excited as you and I were.
They weren't?
I was like, did you see that fight? Yeah, it was a good fight. A good fight. No, it wasn't. That was an ass whooping. It was a good fight.
That was a good fight for Scott McDonald. That was a great fight for Scott McDonald.
That was Paul showing his ability to elude, which was insanely good. Because for him to survive as long as he did was it was almost hard to watch because it was such an aggressive attack.
and so pinpoint. Everything was so precise.
And so multidimensional.
Yeah. Clint Radovich and Josh Houston. That's going to be a weird fight. You got like a big pro boxer against a judo second degree black belt. He's like probably a brown belt equivalent in jiu-jitsu if he doesn't actually have the belt, and did stand up for so long that Maurice Smith used to be his coach. And he hasn't fought in 7 years, and now he's fighting on the same card as his old coach. I offered the Clint Radovich fight to probably, I think, 4 different people who said no. Some didn't say no. Some said, fuck you, all kinds of stuff. But the general answer was no. He's dangerous.
And he's been off for 7 years? He's been off for 7
Yeah. But he's not been not training. He's Will Hammond's assistant coach at White Buffalo. He's coached on that TV show, Fight Masters.
Oh, dude, is he the long-haired guy? Is he the guy that always puts a ponytail?
Yeah, he's going to be good. So, Houston's going to need to throw some heat, get on his hands on him early and hard, because I think Clint's very rounded. And he was willing to fight anybody, whether it was Alfonso Gonzalez. It didn't matter who it was going to be. Everything was like sure. For the other side,
he's fighting Josh Houston.
Yeah, nobody else would take it. Everybody turned it down. Alfonso Gonzalez turned it down, but then he got hurt anyways. Can't fight, but. Everybody turned it down. All of the bigger guys. He's dangerous. Robert Malfris, he's been turned down a lot in January. That's what I'm confusing it with. In January, he's also going to be on the card, but so far, nobody wants to fight him.
That's what I was like. I was like, dude, when did Clint Radovich get added to this card?
Yeah. You don't have the updated one, do you? Apparently not. I'll send you the updated card.
No, I have the updated one.
I know. Was it? Did you know the Clint Radovich was on it?
On the next Saturday?
When did you get it? Yeah.
No, dude. Then I don't have the updated one. I've got Nick Ryan versus Victor Barajas, Alex Corrales, Chris Wheaton, Ben Fodor, Zach Kahn, Drew Brokenshire, Sterling Ford, Rob Kahn, Aaron Martin, Amy Davis, Thea Wolf, Ian Williams, Marcus Johnson, Ivan Salisbury, Tony King, Matt Kovacs, Maurice Smith, Johnny Gilbert.
Right on your computer. That's the final.
So that's the only fight I should listen.
Yeah, Andy Pavlis. I saw him yesterday at Dallas Barn, cornering his teammates, and he looks like he's in shape. He looks real good. He looks like lean and like he's been working hard. So he doesn't always look that way. It's like sometimes he looks like he was real busy at school and stuff, and. But it looks like he took this one very serious, and he's ready. I know Jack's taking it on kind of short notice. He's only got a couple weeks to prepare, maybe 3 weeks, and I think he had to lose a lot of weight, but I'm sure he'll show up ready and see what all he's got.
And who do you think wins that fight?
I don't know.
I'm taking Andy.
It's hard to pick. Andy, if it's Andy, it was a decision. If it's Josh, then he stopped him. He subbed him or he caught him. It's not going to be a decision for Jack. I don't know.
Best sport insurance?
The what?
Are you guys using combat sport insurance?
I don't know. I'm not sure who they use. I didn't have any part of that. It's definitely, I'm sure there's insurance. You have to have it for the state. They get so much, so many requirements.
It helps if you guys spelled DeMarcus Johnson's name right on the fight card.
That could be me.
His name's not Dar Marcus.
No, that's not me. D-E-M, right?
We got Dar Marcus.
But it is D-E-M, right? Is that the correct way?
D-A, capital M. D-A, capital M, A-R-Q-U-E-S.
Oh.
So just get rid of that R.
Okay, perfect.
And everything else will be, I'm assuming Mingo did that.
I, by the possible likely, yes, I'm sure. But that's all right. He's an interesting call. It's going to be weird to be at fights without this important job.
Your important job is happening leading into the fights. Or what is your important job for these fights? Were you the matchmaker?
No, I can't be the matchmaker because these are non-reservation. I don't have a matchmaker's license, so I'm just wise counsel.
Huh.
I know. Go ahead. Make a crack about the wise thing. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sure Stormy's done that enough.
I'm just looking for some consistency between the two of you. And keep me in place. Keep me, you know, keep me humble.
Okay, so I'm going to give my picks for the fights right now. Alex Krause, Victor Brajas, Ben Fodor, Rob Kahn, Thea Wolf, Andy Pavez, Clint Radovich, Drew Brokenshire.
Miss one.
I haven't got, I'm not ready for that one yet. DeMarcus okay. Johns.
It's tough. It's a tough one.
DeMarcus. Oh, man. DeMarcus Johnson. Ivan Salivary. Matt Kovacs.
Yeah.
And Mike Hayes. And Johnny Gilbertson.
Wow. Well, those couple of those are tough for you. You okay? You going to the room?
No,
get
I don't
know.
They'll change. I guarantee you that by Friday they'll change. There will be changes.
Yeah, you're probably right. What's going to change? Who's going to drop? You think someone's going to drop out or is everybody going to make it through the week and fight?
No, I think everybody will fight. I just think that my picks, I know, will change.
Why? You didn't mean what you said?
No, I did, but it just, that's how it goes, man. I'll do more research on the card. And
I think the Ian Williams fight's hard for you because you haven't seen him. Have you seen him maybe one time, or have you seen him at all? Probably not at all.
I've seen tape of
him. Yeah.
It's just how much, like, see, here's my deal, dude. It's hard for me to pick these ex-UFC guys because, like, you know, this is a little bit different scenario. Like, I know he's fighting a tough dude this time, and most of the time these guys are fighting fucking tomato cans when they, like, go back to these local promotions like this.
Yeah.
And, so that's kind of what makes it difficult.
I wonder what they
like
think
that,
they're coming to face. I wonder if they think they got a can waiting for them.
I hope so.
The fight for January 25th with Matt Cole is confirmed. January 25th, Matt Cole fights for Nascimento.
Wow, really?
Yep. Big fight. Big chance. But, you know, Matt's the kind of guy that beats the guys he's not supposed to and loses to the guys he's supposed to beat. So he's dangerous for anybody. Those were the words of Charlie Pearson yesterday, and I agree with him. That's a good way to describe Coble. He's won some big fights and beat guys that he shouldn't have, and then he's lost to some guys that he shouldn't have. So he's dangerous. Guys think he's a chump, and then he catches them. Guys that don't think he's a chump, they give him a fight. Hey, did I see that Dave Corchane's a dad? I think she had a baby this morning.
Really?
I think so.
I thought she was like 5 weeks out.
I'm pretty sure I saw it on Instagram. I'm pretty sure that they had a baby.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure.
Let's just find out.
It was on,
what
it was
is
on Instagram.
If it's not on Facebook, it's not official. It's not on Facebook. It's not official.
Oh, son of a... You got it. You don't know, baby. Huh. 4 more weeks to go. What the hell was I reading? Well, somebody else. I thought on Instagram it says Insane's girl. I thought it was her. Maybe not.
Well, yeah, but she might be insane.
Even the XFC... That picture of David next to Alex Trevino in that FFC thing, David looks pissed off. He looks mean.
The other guy looks like he's ready to get knocked out.
He's even got his chin up a little bit.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. He's like, got his, looks like he has a lazy eye.
If not, he's gonna.
I think Dave's gonna have a lot of pent-up aggression for this fight.
Such a long break for him. That's a long time off for him. He doesn't like to sit around like that. That'd be really hard. You know, like him used to. I think he needs his milestone to come in to keep you know training for something.
Well, he's been training and he's got all the savages up there right now.
Yeah. This Ben Boder fight is going to be, I'm really curious to see how it goes. I think that his coach may be bullshitting me a bit and trying to say that he's not going to do as good as he's going to do. But it's going to be interesting to see because I expect a lot. I think he's a scary, super talented. And by the videos that I saw of his training camp,
do you think he has more talent than his? Does he have more talent than his brother?
Yes. Yes, almost everybody would say that, except for maybe his brother. Even his brother said in an interview I read a couple of days ago, and he was talking about him, and he said, you know, he shouldn't be doing this superhero shit. He should be going, making a good living in MMA or bowling, one of the two.
Or bowling?
Because Ben is a pro bowler. He was a PBA bowler. Did he actually, the car that he drives, he won in a bowling tournament? He's won thousands of dollars bowling, and then he decided to switch to fighting. Crazy good bowler. He's a teenage pro, kicking ass and winning money, a lot of money. He drives a, I don't know what year it is now, but it's a convertible Mustang, and he won it in a bowling tournament.
Get the fuck
crazy,
out
huh?
of here.
Yeah. Yeah, nuts. Bowler, Kingpin goes... Rocky. Kingpin goes King of the Cage.
What
that
the
for a wicked, you know, right uppercut. Swinging that 16-pound ball for years and years and then swinging at someone's head. You didn't know that about him, huh?
No, dude, I didn't know the guy was a fucking pro bowler.
Yeah, they loved him. They did the press conference yesterday for the fight, and they loved him there.
They did what press conference?
For the fights. They did it at the UFC gym in Seattle.
Oh, they had it for Cage Warrior Combat?
Yeah. CJ Marsh is the general manager of the UFC gym in Roosevelt in Seattle, and he invited them to do it there, so they did the press conference there. It's really nice in there, set up cool, perfect for that kind of thing. It's really kind of a cool gym. It's different. There's not a ton of weights and stuff. And when you think UFC gym, I mean, what do you think it would be like? You think it would be like a fight, like an MMA gym? I thought it would be like a Charlie's, like a Ivan's. Like
no, it's
going to
be like all like super nice. It's going to have like a lot of cleaning supplies around. Probably going to have some heavy bags, some TRX, some kettlebells, some medicine balls, a ring, big open mat.
Would you expect that there'd be, I mean, I thought there would be like a gym, though. It would have a lot of nice equipment, and there'd be MMA and kickboxing and all that stuff. It's not like that. It's like a fitness gym like, with a UFC theme.
It's like a 24-hour fitness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much a lot of the classes are, I mean, they're led classes. Sometimes, you know, it looks like a lot of the time, but they're like circuit type thing on the bag, or it's not person to person. You're not holding mitts for each other. You're not, from what I saw. I know they have an advanced class where it's different, but for the most part, they have like, I don't know how many rows. There would be, I don't remember what I counted, 60 some bags, 60 heavy bags, all out in this big rectangle. Really nice. Nice ring. I think there's like a half wall cage. It's pretty nice. Not to send some weights and stuff, but it's a cool setup. It'd be cool to have something like that, but have a real gym, MMA gym in it. Maybe not quite so many heavy bags, but. And not music so loud. I'm going to kill myself.
Music there?
Make me feel old because the music was too loud.
Wow. Dude, Victor Barajas is a 25% dog. He's only, it's 3-1 picks for Ryan.
What did you think it would be?
I thought maybe Barajas might be the favorite.
Nah, because Barajas is a Mexican from Mount Vernon who is a farmer. He milks cows for a living. And so he don't have a lot of fans. He don't have a lot of, and the friends and fans he does have, probably a lot of them don't even have the internet, don't know what the fuck Facebook is, so he doesn't have that kind of following that Nick Ryan has.
He should win
following.
This fight. Yeah, but Victor should win this fight, I think.
Yeah,
I have to
sure.
Look at this Nick Ryan kid again.
Nick Ryan's tough, but I think that Victor's tough as well. Victor's a fighter. Victor's not like an athlete. He's a fighter. But he showed up at the
Well, now, is he at Charlie he or showed is up, he at Landon?
He had hands. He's with Landon. He started when I was the coach. He started. And he the day that he showed up, he had hands. He didn't have to be taught that at all. And he's left-handed, and he naturally just had good straight punches, nice hooks, and he was off to a good start. And then he's a little bit crazy. So when he gets hurt, it don't faze him. I've seen him like two different times finish fights with the nastiest, big old gaping eyebrow cuts, just wicked. One was his eyelid. It was so nasty, and he just kept on fighting. He didn't care. Most people in injury like that, they've been like, oh, damn. Uh-oh. He don't give a shit. He's tough. Fast.
Like he had a camel toe on his face?
Yeah. Sideways. Like a Korean camel toe. That was not... he's tough. Super tough. He's a Christian Ortiz's cousin.
Oh, man. I might have to actually switch my pick. I might actually have to switch my pick.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I didn't realize that Ryan's only losses are to Drew Brokenshire.
Yeah. Who'd he beat?
Who'd he beat?
Fights, right?
He beat Arvin Paula Slaggy or whatever the hell that guy's name is.
I'm going to look him up, too. I'm going to see what you're looking at. He beat who? Paul. What's coming up?
No, it'd be Arvin. Polia Sogui or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's all right. Nathan
Arvin.
Stone, that's a good win.
Yeah. Trevor Severn's a pretty good win.
And... Oh, he busted Drew twice. George
Some
Taylor,
thing.
that's no win. I mean, that's just of course he won. Huh. Well, Arvin,
Sigua fight.
Good,
that's
he?
The guy.
Arvin's not good. He's 3-4. He's okay, but he's yeah. I just don't think he hasn't been tested. Like, I think that Victor's been in tougher fights. He fought Johnny Gilbertson and he lost a decision.
a five-round decision. And I don't think Johnny's been in five rounds very many times. That might be... Oh, that's not... I think he actually has done the full fight a few times. He used to be more of a wrestler, but... Yeah.
Well, that's one fight I'm not...
Totally cut out.
But, dude, did you notice, okay, so Maurice Smith, Ben Fodor, and Alex Perales are all 100% favorites. And Rob Kahn.
And Rob Kahn? That surprised me because the other guy has so many fans.
Yeah, but, dude, these people that are picking these fights ain't based on fans. I didn't go to Fan Row. I went to Tapology.
Sure. Yeah, I'm looking down the list of Victor's opponents, and he had fought a lot of tough guys. A lot of tough guys. And Johnny Gilbertson, yeah, he lost a five-round decision. He's been in some wars. He's getting a lot more. He's got a lot more rounds of fighting. He's not up that many more fights.
Lost to R.J. Murphy.
Who did, Victor?
Yeah.
Early, right? Early in his career?
Yeah, like back in 09. Non-sanctioned.
Yeah, he'd been doing it like 1 year. But he's...
Voronov's is.
RJ's tough, you know, he's...
Dude, this guy... Dude, your guy Victor Barajas just lost to a guy that had never won a fight before.
No, that shouldn't be on here. He didn't have that fight. He doesn't have any pro fights, and his last fight was against Jeremy Montgomery.
He didn't
actually,
fight
his last
this.
Fight was kickboxing against Will Johnson, but other than that, it was against Jeremy Montgomery. I don't know why that fight's on there. He's never been there. That fight is not shouldn't be on his record.
This one with this Alex J. Voronov.
Yeah. That's not him. Where the hell was this fight? In Russia? He didn't go to fucking Latvia. Smith's never been out of Skagit County. He don't belong on that. He don't belong on that list. For sure. I know he wasn't there. But apparently he lost a decision. Wow.
To a guy that had never won a fight.
This guy's probably thinking, yeah, I finally won against that guy we made up.
They're like, yep, that was the guy. That Victor Barajas cat. That was the one. He's got a great name for himself.
Yeah. That's crazy. We're about out of time. You want to wrap it up?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he just did that. Anything you want to tell the people about where they can find your information about Clinch Custom Mouth Guards?
You can find it on getclinch.com. Changes all the time. Pictures change all the time. Hopefully you like our work and you buy our product and my kids can eat for another day.
God, dude, you really made me want to go get a fucking mouth guard. Let me tell you. So you're supposed to be like... He's going to wear my mouth guard. You should wear my mouth guard.
I don't have a used car salesman thing. I need a used car salesman.
Dancy Medeiros.
Yeah. Play what
How
Mary
are you
Yankee
not a
said.
Used car salesman, dude?
I don't know. I just don't
You're
have
a used car salesman. Don't lie to the people, man.
You think I am?
Oh, yeah, dude. Definitely.
But I told you how much of a dick you are yet today?
Well, I mean, you always tell me that.
Just didn't want to miss a day. Well, they're not lemons. I'm not selling you a lemon. Yeah, no. I make best
mouth guards. Anybody else will tell you that. Eddie Ellis fought for two rounds with a broken jaw.
Yep, with my mouth guard in. Holding
fought
my shit
four
together.
Rounds with a broken jaw.
That's a tough son of a bitch. That's just nuts.
Like glue.
I can't imagine.
Right, we got 5 seconds, people. We're taking off. It's been real. We want to thank Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, MMAMadhouse.com, and MikeyRuckus.com for supporting the show. And we will talk to you all later. Osprey.